This is Chronic Victory Podcast, where we deal in hope and aim to reduce suffering around the globe. We deal faith out like it's hotcakes. Welcome back, good people. I hope this finds you well. This is number 74. I'm still getting over that virus, so excuse any blunders and gaffes on my part, voice-wise. Couple announcements before we begin. We're going to keep going with courage today from and use the book Courage is Calling by Ryan Holiday, sort of as our guide. A couple of statements from that, some examples from history about courage. Little somber mood, but not. Like, I'm having a great day, and I love my Instagram family, my Instagram friends and people that I've met, you guys that listen, you guys and gals that talk to me often, and we stay connected. Just, I had one of those days where I realized how much that means to me and just how great that is. So thank you if you're one of those people. And if you're not, I hope you become one soon. Send me a message. But yeah, a little bit of somber mood. If you ever watched the show Power Rangers from the 90s and onward, I think it's still going. There's the Green Ranger, the actor who played the original Green Power Ranger, who was my all-time favorite when I was a child. Jason David Frank took his own life, and he will be very missed. He was a good man. So very sad about that, but that got me to think about, hey, let's remember to check on our people. So check on your people, send somebody a message, ask somebody how they are, and let's try to be good to one another. Next, I'm really glad to hear today, especially as I record this, I talk to many people on Instagram. I'm really glad to hear that some of the recent pods spoke to you guys. That's really cool. It's like just fuel for me being here. So I really appreciate honest feedback, even if it's like something you disagree on. Fortunately, that wasn't the case. It was all good feedback and just things that are like, wow, I really needed this today. And that's just reaffirmation of why I'm here doing this. It feels good. Feels good. Welcome to the team. And last, I believe the affiliate coupons are working again. They are, if you ever want permanent 15% off from a vitamin and nutrition store of natural supplements. So if that's something you're interested in, you can use coupon code VICTORY at wildtheory.com. That's for any CBD products. And you can use coupon code VICTORY at findyourhealthyplace.com and also just save 15% there as well. And I believe shipping is still free on both of those sites with this code. If it doesn't work, let me know. Or if you're interested, have questions, chat me up on Instagram, send me an email at chronicvictorypodcast@gmail.com. All right, the stuff is out of the way and I am still under 5 minutes, so that's good. So let's get into it. We're going to continue with courage. And today's episode is called Break Up With Fear. I was talking with a good buddy on Instagram today about relationships, and they had some like, what do you think about this sort of questions? And I was like, well, you know, we were just going back and forth. And I made a connection in my own mind that fear is like the abusive, narcissistic person in the abusive relationship. That's as good as fear gets for you. It's the enemy. Fear in all forms is the enemy of courage, straight up. And it's impossible to beat an enemy that we do not understand. So we need to sort of think about fear in a new light here. Because the things that are happening in our lives and the illness and the chronic conditions or literally any of the bad stuff that you don't like in your life, we're in a battle against fear. Even the potential good things that people get anxiety and anxious over, public speaking is one of them. Some days I don't feel like speaking. Today I did. There's a book I read in college titled The Gift of Fear. And in essence, it's like the brave are not without fear. They have the fear because we are not immune to fear. Nobody is. But we have the choice and the ability to rise above it when it matters. Instinctual fear serves a purpose. One of the examples in that book was a young woman who was single living in an apartment building on, I don't know, it was one of the higher floors. And she was bringing groceries up to her floor, and this man appeared and was like, hey, let me help you with your groceries. And he was very nice and very kind. And for whatever reason, she just had this gut feeling that something wasn't right. And he wanted to come inside and help bring the groceries inside and help her out. And he was just very nice. And she decided, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, she brought him in, but then she quickly decided to just leave. And it turned out this guy was a predator and he was trying to make a victim out of her in some sort of way, either to hurt her or sexually abuse her. And one of the lines I learned that's kept with me, rather, from that book was, niceness does not equal goodness. And you hear somebody say all the time, he was so nice, she was so nice. They're very nice. But does that mean they're good? Anyway, so taking the sort of instinctual fear topic and bringing it back into today's episode, we often can't help being scared because, like I said, nobody's immune to it. We're human beings. We're going to get scared sometimes. And I think that's normal and that's okay. But I don't think we should be afraid. It's very easy to be scared. But there's a huge distinction that needs to be made. A scare is a temporary rush of feeling. Fear is a state of being. Allow it to run the show and you're going to be toast. If you let fear take over, we lose. See, one helps you, makes you alert, informs you of danger or potential threats, just like that woman bringing her groceries up to her apartment. The other drags you down. It weakens you. It paralyzes you. Just like in policing, there was a lot of things when I was out on patrol and I had to deal with people or incidents that I was very uncomfortable and I was scared for my safety. Like, I'm on a highway or a fast road even. And if I'm behind somebody and I'm outside for a traffic stop reason or somebody broke down, I'm scared that somebody's going to hit me. You really don't know who's coming down the road. It's a busy road. And occasionally people get struck. You don't want to be one of them. There's always kind of this underlying fear. But that's the stuff that also can help you and save you and keep you ready for what's going on. Especially dealing with people, I was always scared that somebody was going to choose make the choice that they wanted to fight or something. And then I would have to then fight. I don't want to go out there and fight anybody because I want to fight. I don't want to do that. That's the opposite of what I want to do. But by kind of knowing what could happen and being prepared for that gives me a better chance of overcoming any of the fear that comes along with that. So I can do what I need to do, keep everybody safe, including myself, to the best of my ability, and not have to sit there and be paralyzed. In my philosophy books that I'm reading, the Stoics and the Christians both, they don't fault anyone for having emotional reactions. Contrary to popular belief about Stoicism is like robot, statue, no emotions. That's not true. They don't fault anyone for having emotional reactions. They only care. And I thought, hey, that's me. I'm the Christian Stoic. I think. At least that's who I'm appearing to be as I go on and on about this. But they only care about what you do after the shine of those feelings wears off or wears down. What do you do after that initial reaction, that immediate response? Because the immediate response is natural. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor. None of us have been there, right? Ha, ha, ha. It's like when you go to the doctor and they take that little triangular rubber thing and they hit your knee and then your leg moves. It's involuntary. It's natural because you have nerves there. They're basically hitting nerves. And it's the same with fear. There's kind of a dark joke in this book, actually. It says, one man points out, there are many who dare not kill themselves for fear of what the neighbors will say. And that's poking fun at the root of most fear is what other people will think. What are people going to think of us? Oh, no. It's paralyzing sometimes. It's skewing. It distorts your very fabric of reality. It makes you behave in weird, cowardly ways sometimes. On the other hand, there has never been a person who did something that mattered without pissing people off. There's never been a change that wasn't met with doubts. There's never been a movement that wasn't mocked. There's never been a groundbreaking business that wasn't loudly predicted to fail. And there never, ever has been a time when the average opinion of faceless, unaccountable strangers should be valued above our own considered judgments. Do you know what fear setting is? It's defining and articulating the anxieties and doubts that hold us back. And this has to end. I caught myself fear setting all the time when I was around the wrong people. I was going to say it more gently than that, but it is. It is true. People that aren't like-minded and were not helping me in ways. And that's kind of like the classic example of fear setting that I can give is when you're having a dilemma or an issue and you have several options to go about it. And the thing that always I play back in my mind is like meeting up with a friend at a coffee shop. You know, the classic one friend goes to the other friend and seeks advice and opinion. And what should I do? And I could either do it this way, and I'm not sure what to do. And I'm afraid that if I do this, this is going to happen. And if I'm afraid if I do that, that's going to happen. And then the friend will usually say, I don't know, or give you an opinion, you know, either way. But still, you can leave that situation or that, you know, that meeting with whoever that person is and still not decide because you're too fearful. But it's the fear setting. It's like actually articulating the fears and the anxieties out loud with your mouth, usually to several people, and all the doubts. And listen, there's a place for that too. Your therapist, significant other, partner, best friend. It can be a friend. It can be somebody that you talk to. But rather than just kind of fear-mongering and spilling out all of our anxieties without outcome in the hopes that somebody might make the decision for us or tell us what to do, and then we don't really have to take ownership of it because it was, you know, it was their idea, so I can do it and not feel bad about it. No, you still have to own up and take ownership of your situation in your life. But that's what fear setting is, and I didn't know it had a name. I just knew it wasn't, like, it didn't feel good. And I would do that all the time, and I would seek out other people's opinions and try to make decisions based on only what other people said and not what I thought. And that didn't serve me, and I don't think it will serve you either. Instead, what we can do, and talking about the proper person or the proper way to go about that, is what about proper preparedness? Are there things that could go wrong? Yes. Premeditatio malorum. That was kind of hard to say, but that's the deliberate meditation on the evils that we might encounter. The deliberate meditation. Well, and you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound healthy at all. But again, I relate that to, like, in law enforcement work, for example. You run through scenarios all the time in your head. It's like writing computer code. If X happens, then Y occurs after. For every action or event, there is some sort of outcome or happening or occurrence, whatever you want to call it. But still, I think we can do this in a healthy way. For example, especially dealing with people, you, as you're talking to them, you're kind of in the back of your mind, there's a part of you that's thinking, what would I do right now if this person's going to swing at me and try to hit me in the face? What would I do right now if this person fell to the ground and started having a medical emergency? What do I do right now if this person decided to run? What would I do right now if this... And these are all questions that I think of ahead of time, scenarios that I would think of ahead of time. So when I'm actually out there, you don't really have to dwell on that and sit there and process a million different things at once. Sure, sometimes you're caught off guard and you have to make decisions. But often, when I was just out patrolling, for example, and there was no calls or nothing really going on, a lot of just kind of, you know, proactive patrol, going around looking for things, checking on doors, checking on places, and just checking, just driving around or walking around. A lot of that was just thinking about how I was going to handle the next one, how I could be better, how I could deal with people better so they don't want to fight me, so they don't want to yell at me, so they don't want to hurt somebody. All these different scenarios. And when I would make a decision, I would just stick with that. It was basically came down to this. It was like, it's like computer code. If X happened, then I would choose Y. If X happened, I would choose Y with two options depending on something at Z, right? So, because the unexpected blows land most heavily and painfully, those things that we don't prepare for. Now, I'm by no means, by golly, am I saying to just think about the worst that could happen at all times and you're going to be ready. That's not what I'm saying. Just think about those things that you're concerned about, those worries that you have. Think of what's in your best interest. Make a decision that's based on what you're feeling in your own heart and soul, not just what other people's words are. There's a healthier, better way to do this, and it's called preparedness, being prepared. If I get my surgery, this, this, and this could happen. Well, what would I do if the first thing happened? Write down my reactions. What would I do if this happened? I'm not sure about that one. I want to talk to some people about that, or maybe I want to go back to the doctor and talk about that. What about this third thing? This could happen, but I could go two or three different ways there. Okay, so I need to make a decision. Is it in my best interest to do the surgery or whatever it is for you? Or is it better to just not and go a different route completely and just dump all this and not have to worry about it? Everything we do in life has risk. Just like being able to think. Jordan Peterson said, in order to be able to think, one must risk being offensive. Because sometimes people don't like the things you say, even if you believe it's right. So by preparing this way, by expecting and defining and wrestling with what can happen, we're kind of making it less scary and less dangerous for ourselves. Remember, we're not dwelling and fantasizing and obsessing. And I would really caution you to, you know, I would occasionally do that when I was having PTSD problems in the past. I still have them, but not as frequently. Another good example is law enforcement. People that watch training videos, if you're going to just sit and watch videos of cops getting killed or hurt and shot and all that all day, you're not going to come out of that feeling well or prepared. You're just going to feel bad. So the goal isn't to obsess or dwell or fantasize about all these different scenarios and things. It's just to, in a sense, meditate on the evils that we might encounter, the things that we're afraid of, the things that we're up against, and how we want to approach them. And it can all start, that whole process can just start with a really simple question. We don't have to make it extra complicated at all. You ask yourself, how have I prepared myself to handle this? Ask yourself that. What did I do to prepare myself for this thing? Why does it bother me? What am I afraid of? Do you have some sort of fears that frequent you about certain things that you have to do in your daily life, and why? Encourage is calling. Ryan Holiday has two good lines here. He says, nothing human should be foreign to us. And the second one is, nothing possible should be alien. And we don't need to be so shocked and afraid of human elements. Nothing possible should be alien. You're capable of so much more. Not every day, and I'm not saying you have to save the world, and even if I did say that, which I'm not, it's not your responsibility. I'm just talking about you. Just trying to be something that you want to be, trying to live a good life, and trying to learn throughout. But instead of like really delving into those two quotes by Ryan Holiday, I simply would just ask you, what do you think about that? And do you agree? Maybe you don't. Curious about that. I do believe each of us needs to cultivate the courage to actually look at what we are afraid of. Take a look at it. Because a lot of people, most people won't. And if you can at least look at it and examine it, you're already so far ahead. And when fear is defined in this way, it can be defeated. You could still be scared. I just did a YouTube video not long ago. I basically said right in the beginning, I'm scared all the time. I am. I'm scared all the time, every day. I have no idea what this body of mine is doing or wants to do most of the time. And it's frustrating. It's nerve-wracking. But I cannot bring myself to let that fear be the driver of my own soul and take charge of my decision making and decide for me how I'm going to be a father, what I'm going to do in my free time, and just the kind of person I'm going to be. I wouldn't be able to live with myself. I always am under attack by it. I always feel the fear. I know the things I'm afraid of, and I hate to look at them, but I look at them, and I have to admit to myself, this is what you're fearing. This is what you're afraid of, but you need to do the thing anyways. You can still be scared. A lot of people are just scared all the time, especially with this chronic illness stuff. It's not fun. You know, none of us chose this. And when I say things like, or if I make a post on Instagram that says, no, no fear, that's from one of my favorite franchises, the Warhammer 40,000 universe. But it's not literal. I mean, yes, no, no fear, but pretend you don't know the fear. The fear will attack you. You will be scared. And I guarantee I'm going to be scared sometime in the future, whether it's for me, a child, another person, an event, some sort of disaster. I don't know what it is, but I can guarantee you I'm going to feel that again. But I can't let that choose what I do after I have those feelings. I get to decide that. You get to decide that for yourself. And nobody is actually immune to fear. So we shouldn't feel bad or put ourselves down for being scared. I think it's good to just openly talk about it. Because if we can even just identify that that is a thing for us, that yes, I get scared the way because I don't know what my body's doing. That's not a comfortable feeling. Okay, I think just by putting that out on the table, we're just one step closer to understanding ourselves and figuring out what we can do and just learning about how we can make this situation a little bit better. And that might take some time, but it's something. Former NFL player Pat Tillman, who left pro football to join the Army Rangers, said, quote, somewhere inside, we hear a voice. Our voice leads us in the direction of the person we wish to become. But it is up to us whether or not to follow. End quote. He ended up dying tragically, but heroically, I believe in combat, on February 7th, 1837, at age 16, Florence Nightingale received what she referred to as the call, that she was to be of service somehow in this life to people in some way. And mind you, this was during a time when roles for women were limited and constrained, and she came from a wealthy family that basically they didn't expect anything of her except to just live comfortably and wealthy and not do anything. And she ended up being an incredible nurse and brought reform to the nursing profession. But beforehand, she waited 8 years before addressing this call that she had. 8 years. Her family was very against her. You know, it's not ladylike. It's not proper to go into that field. You will fail. You cannot do this. You're disgracing the family by wanting to help other people and leave the comfort of your home and what you have. She finally realized what held her back after 8 long years. And it was fear. Two in particular. Could she actually succeed at this? Was her first thought. Her second one was, what would people think? What's my family going to think? What are all the people around me who don't believe a woman should be here in this role? What are they going to think? It's easy for me now in 2022, or what's left of it, to say that those people shouldn't have a spot at the table. They don't get a vote. But back then, we got to remember things were different. Back then, it was totally different. You couldn't talk like that without being, I don't know, ousted in some way or another. There's a terrible paradox here. It's when people tell you that you'll fail and that you're wrong. How could you not listen? when somebody tells you that. I was told that about going into law enforcement or criminal justice when I was a teenager. I had a grown woman, a middle-aged woman, tell me that I wasn't cut out for that. I'm not strong enough. I would never do that. And it felt bad because I thought this person was like she was a coworker, but I thought she was sort of a friend. And I listened. I didn't necessarily believe it, but how can you not listen when somebody tells you straight up that you are going to fail? You're destined to fail. You're wrong. You can't do what you want to do. You'd have to be crazy not to hear people when they tell you you're crazy, right? It doesn't mean that we give them a vote or we actually believe it, but we can hear. But what we have to remember is very simple. There's nothing unbecoming in doing your duty for the good of others, ever. There's nothing unbecoming in doing your duty for the good of others. And Florence Nightingale wanted to go and be a nurse and help people, the sick, the wounded, the dying. Her family very against her. You know, there was a time when you and I were unafraid. And I'm not just talking childhood or being an infant before we knew how to use our brains more. I'm talking about even now as an adult, there has been good days when we were not afraid. And we know what that's like. We remember that sensation. We remember that feeling. And we remember that freedom. And we remember how easy it was to make choices. We need to try to seize that power inside of us again. Remember, fear holds you back. It freezes us. It gives you a million reasons why or why not. Florence Nightingale, it was her experiences with fear that helped her relate to and love the thousands of wounded, dying patients she would end up caring for. And she said, quote, "Apprehension, uncertainty, waiting, expectation, fear of surprise do a patient more harm than any exertion does." Remember, he or she is face to face with his enemy all the time, internally wrestling with it, having long imaginary conversations with it. And she's talking about her patients. That one really hit me hard, too. The way she said, remember, he's face to face with his enemy all the time. The patient is. The apprehension, the uncertainty, the waiting, the expectation, the fear of the surprise, those all do patients more harm than any exertion does. Wow. We have to replace fear, like she did, with steely determination. And Florence ended up writing in regards to her own family. She wrote, "I must expect no sympathy or help from them." From her own family. Sadly, as is often the same case for us, there are close friends and family that we have or had. I must expect no sympathy or help from them. Giving them a little grace and breathing room, I would say that it's not their battle anyways, but I could spend a lot of time on that one. I'm not going to. I think we can all agree at this point in our lives, whether we are Christian or otherwise, that there is something bigger than us, that we don't know anything about this universe. We think we do, but what do we really know? If you look at the universe, the known universe as we know it, there's something bigger than us. That helps me bring myself down to earth with what's going on, what's actually happening in front of me. And I think you are chosen. Don't ask me why, because I don't know the why all the time. I'm still not sure about my why entirely. I have some theories. But you are chosen. But will you choose to accept that? Will you choose to accept that you are? I hope so. Ryan Holiday says in the book, quote, "There is nothing worth doing that is not scary. There is no one who has achieved greatness without wrestling with their own doubts, anxieties, limitations, and demons." I agree. You are chosen. You are being called. Will you answer? or will you let the phone keep ringing? I hope that you have a peaceful, enjoyable rest of your day. If you're not, I hope the next one is. And if that one's not, I hope the one after that is. And I'm going to keep hoping for you. And if anybody has a prayer request, send them my way, chronicvictorypodcast@gmail.com or DMs on Instagram. I'm very active on there. Thank you for being with me again today. You are appreciated. You matter. You're not alone, even though it feels that way a lot. And I know it's so annoying when that happens. I get that too. And I hope this speaks to somebody in some way, and I hope to hear from you. Until then, I wish you well. Stay in the fight.